Welcome to Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. This is a project I've been encouraged to do for a while now. I am a personality, host, and TV guy working out here in Hollywood. The podcast here features myself and a rotating guest co-host. The show is always going to have a different tone and flavor with the rotating chair next to me. Hollywood Talk ranges from the latest hot topics to a profile of the guest, their life in LA, and what it's like to tackle a career here at a very young age and really kind of get that initial push into the industry. There are many platforms that tell industry professional success stories, how they made it, what they did. This one profiles the middle or even the early stages of the Hollywood hustle. Meryl Streep will never be a guest on this show. Sorry. But instead, millennials who are in a hot pursuit for their big lifetime goal, making it a reality, they'll be here. It should be fun. It could turn slightly serious, be a little wacky, but there's one rule. Absolutely no Kardashian hot topics. Let's be real. You can hear about those people and their opinions anywhere else. Even on the Today Show, you can hear about those bitches. And if you're clutching your pearls already, look out, you're listening to Grant's Rants. And I'm kidding. Grant's Rants starts right now.
Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Ignorance continues on the set of The View. Ben Affleck's ex-nanny is trying way too hard. Could Kim Richards do time after her recent trip to Target? All that and more with Christy Olsen next. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting here with my friend, Christy Olsen.
Hey!
Christy, host and red carpet reporter. She's out there. She's interviewing your favorite celebrities and reality stars. She's got dirt. She's got information. It's going to be a good chat. And we're going to be going over hot topics, things that we are both vibing about. And there's a lot to say. I was concerned. We're in the dead of summer. There might not be that much out there, but no, people are making mistakes. They're saying incorrect things.
The Hollywood stars always give us juicy things to discuss.
There's a lot. So Christy and I, we know each other from AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah.
We've known each other now for a little bit, less than a year at this point.
Yeah, we break down all those Real Housewives shows on AfterBuzz.
Right, yes. And Christy, you're always out there on a red carpet. I know you're going to have some good information for us. So I want to talk all about that as well. You know, what have you been following lately?
Oh, well, I am kind of all fired up about the Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner nanny. I have some stuff to say about that pathetic attention, WHORE, you know. And I'm always concerned about poor Kim Richards and how far off the wagon she is. I think the wagon is, you know, a couple miles down the street at this point.
God, yes.
And we got to cap it off with some positive things, too, because I know my girl Ariel Winter has been making some great statements and really inspiring some young girls. So there's good things to talk about, too.
I'm really pissed about The View, as usual. But there's a lot I have to say about this show. I mean, I really have to get into it because everyone that's cast on that show exits poorly. Mm-hmm. It's always in bad shape. I have never witnessed a show, truthfully, that has given this many attempts to rebound, rebrand, and get back on top. Uh-huh. The show, to me, has, and even the ratings will reflect it, has not been good since Rosie O'Donnell, Part 1, and that was when I was a senior in high school, which was in 2007. A disaster. And now I'm beginning to question here if The View is one of those shows that is now like a Good Morning America or Today, where we're never going to see it canceled. We're never going to open up USA Today and see Today's show on NBC canceled. I'm wondering if it's one of those shows now that it's just like the brand is important to them and they don't care who's in the chair and it's just part of their news division and they're just going to keep it going like a 60 minutes. Like, I'm hoping that that's not the case.
But you might be right.
There's nothing newsworthy about that show when you have people that aren't even educated on that show.
To say the least.
I want to start off right away by giving out an award. This award is well-deserved, and it's in the vein of The View. Let's give it out.
Announcing the recipient for the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
This award I am giving to Kelly Osbourne for her behavior on The View in the recent weeks. What do you think of Kelly Osbourne and her recent tiff she had with Rosie Perez and offending the entire Latino community.
Well, don't you know, Grant? Kelly Osbourne keeps telling us that she's not racist and this isn't how she meant it. And the overall thing that sticks out to me about all this is that Kelly was very, very hard on Juliana Rancic a couple months ago when she made a comment that, by all means, I believe was innocuous and was taken the wrong way. She found herself in the exact same situation as Kelly put herself in very recently, and Kelly was hard on her. So my initial reaction to this was to not be very forgiving, and even after Kelly did explain herself, she blatantly said on The View, she referred to Latinas and Donald Trump and toilet cleaning. I think we all know the story. So my initial reaction was to not be very forgiving, and when it all kind of snowballed throughout the episode of The View with Rosie Perez, if the listeners maybe know, Rosie Perez is one of the hosts of The View, and she sort of took Kelly to task on her comments right away when Kelly said them. And Rosie basically said what we were all thinking, and it needed to be addressed. And the executives at The View apparently didn't really appreciate that, did they?
No, there was a lot of backlash. I found it interesting that the executives were right there on the set of this show. They were ready to just roll right in when there was a controversy, because this show is the worst show on television. It has more controversy, walkouts, behind-the-scenes drama than most soap operas. It's unbelievable what the hell goes down on the show. Rosie Perez at the time had already been canned from the show. They were dying to get rid of her. I don't know why they rushed to sign these people, and they can't get them off the set fast enough. Mm-hmm. So she already had a couple pre-taped shows that she was signed up for to do, and then she had two shows before her final episode. So she was already out the door. She did a play earlier in the year. They were dying to get her out of her contract so she wouldn't come back to the set to continue it out. But, you know, to their dismay, she returned. So she knew that they had it out for her and that they had kind of a bad taste in their mouth when it came to Rosie Perez.
Well, yeah, and like you're saying, it's really their fault. They hired the wrong person, and then they sort of try to put the blame on Rosie, right, and try to make her look, yeah, bad, and then ultimately give her the boot.
So during the commercial break, during this blow-up they had over on The View, Kelly Osbourne was super upset. She was crying. She was afraid that everyone's going to think she's a racist. So the execs over there ran to her and tried to get everything to be turned around. So we had to sit and watch Rosie put her arm around Kelly and talk about how great, you know, not how great she is, but basically, like, she's on our side. I overreacted. And I mean, I don't know, to me, to have to eat your words like that is just like the kiss of death.
Oh, for sure.
How do you do it?
Yeah, and to have to say, like, I was being too sensitive when everyone else in the country was reacting in the same way and felt, yeah, the same way about Kelly's comments as Rosie did for the most part. So, and Rosie is such a strong role model in the Latino community. She is an inspirational figure to young Latino women, and she takes that very seriously. It's something she's vocal about. Mm-hmm. And to have to go and sort of almost perpetuate Kelly's comments and almost perpetuate this idea of Latinos and what their job is must have just been humiliating.
And if that wasn't enough, they made her then go and send out a tweet right after the show to Kelly, addressing the situation yet again. And apparently Rosie Perez was not happy about this. She said, I've apologized enough, which I think she did. Did she need to apologize at all?
She absolutely did not need to apologize in the first place.
No.
But she had already done it. Didn't they say, like, well, it on the show, that wasn't a public enough apology. Now we need, yeah, you to do it on Twitter, right? Which, yeah, is just beyond ridiculous as well.
It was handled so poorly, and I'm not the least bit surprised. The way everything on that show is handled, it's such a mess. Mm-hmm. PR nowadays, when it comes to social media, it's just so backwards. They're so far behind. It's always messy. It's never done right.
Because they can't control it. And, yeah, publicists are used to being able to control, mm-hmm, the press and what goes out there about their clients.
Like, how many times have we heard of people's accounts being hacked, mm, when something was being said that was a little off color? But it was only hacked for that one comment, though.
Right. That one comment at that one time. Nothing else was posted.
Yeah. There was a soap star that happened, too. And it was, like, a very insignificant... First, like, it wasn't like they hacked into, like, you know, like, Donald Trump's Twitter and started doing things. It was, like, an insignificant actor on a soap opera. And we had to believe that it was a hacking. It's just stupid.
Well, I guess that means we can use that excuse should we ever find ourselves
That's
in
true.
Hot water.
That's true. Well, yeah, Rosie Perez, I don't know. I don't know where she's going to go next. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I do feel bad for her because apparently there was a lot of yelling and screaming on the after the show, and she said she's done with this place and, you know, a bunch of expletives, and she's out, and I don't blame her. If I worked on that show, I'd be walking out the door like that, too. I heard it's awful to work over there.
Yeah, she put up with a lot. This wasn't the first time that they sort of humiliated her, and she stuck with it. She kept a good attitude. She didn't go to, I think, a realm of negativity where she could have with the show and kind of told them to go to you-know-where sooner. She kept her head held high, and she acted in a respectful manner and tried so hard to take that out to her last day, and they couldn't even let her go out in a respectable way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she must just be so disappointed about this. And aside from that, to my first point, a lot of people were looking to what is Juliana Rancic going to say about Kelly's comments. Mm-hmm. And she said simply on E! News, you know, I'm taking the high road, and for me to comment would just... add fuel to the fire, and so my comment is that I won't be commenting. So maybe Rosie has some support there from Juliana, but either way, I'm sure that Rosie Perez will go on to do some good things, and Kelly Osbourne will just go on to continue to behave in the same manner and make the same mistakes.
Her and her mother both, I just, they're like, they're trying to be like these shock jocks. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be as controversial as someone like Howard Stern. And the two of them just have really no basis and no real reason to be so controversial. They're not super educated people.
Right, there has to be intelligence behind that.
Yeah, it's just like they're just saying it to say it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder, you know, if they just said, okay, look, I made a mistake, shouldn't have said that. You know, I don't believe it's a necessary racist comment. I just don't. I believe that racism can be identified and be seen, like if you're like purposefully like distancing yourself from a certain group of people and excluding them from something. I just think that was just a bonehead comment, stupid, should know better, and it was not right. And I will never understand why Rosie Perez had to apologize for someone else's stupid comment for being reactionary towards it. It just makes no sense.
Bingo. That's exactly what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, let's see. Out here in California, well, of course, this happened in New York, but Kelly Osbourne lives out here in West Hollywood, and she's not the only SoCal girl that's in trouble these days. We need to look at Kim Richards. Now, of course, we talked about Kim. You defended her quite a bit this last season.
My girl Kim, who has recently become indefensible, even to myself. I love her, and yes, I've offered her a lot of support through her trouble through the last couple seasons and what we've seen from her. And this is definitely rock bottom, I think, for her. There have been a lot of disputed reports. Her family is trying to keep what's going on with her extremely quiet. So we've heard a lot of conflicting things. Among those are that she's homeless, living out of her car. We've heard she's been hospitalized for different holds over the last couple weeks from her family, that she had been taken in by Kathy. We've also heard that Kathy has refused to help her now at this point. So in all honesty, we don't know exactly where she's at right now. But we know it's not good. She's been arrested twice in the last couple months for shoplifting, for being drunk in public. This Target shoplifting story is just bizarre.
$612 worth of merchandise. She originally had two carts. One of them, she went to the dollar section. Oh, you know, this where you first walk in Target.
Yes, that's my favorite place in Target.
You know, so you come in, it's like, of course, back to school. So there was like, you know, the Lisa Frank notepads and the erasers and the cheap pencil sharpeners and all that. So she filled a cart with that, put that stuff in bags, apparently, and said, okay, I've already paid for this. She walked right to the cashier and like, ma'am. She's like, oh, I already paid for this. We're good. So then she continued to grab another cart, no bags this time, just started putting in toys and then rolled out with that. They waited for her to go the 3 feet out of the distance of the door, and then that's when it becomes a shoplifting crime. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of her from the security footage where they took a security photo of her, and she just looks so rough. I don't think you can go any lower than this. She's already got criminal charges against her from kicking that police officer at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Which, in my opinion, is the worst thing that anyone can do, is assault a police officer.
Is this woman going to prison?
Absolutely not. She has too much money behind her. If Lindsay only had to go to jail for 82 minutes, there's no place there for Kim Richards, that's for sure. She did get kind of a plea out through rehab once, and it is likely, from what I'm reading, that that could happen again. The fact that she is so clearly deep in addiction will help keep her out of prison.
It's
especially
true.
In California, and for people who can afford the kind of lawyers that can set up pretty deals, mm-hmm. you know, you go to rehab, you don't go to prison.
But so, who's paying for these lawyers? We know
Kathy.
That this, really?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Kim, I mean, Kyle is completely done.
Kyle says she's done, but we also know that Kyle cares more about her image and what people think of her and what they say about her in the press than pretty much anything else. So she's not about to let her family and her name get dragged through the mud and all this. You know that.
It's true. That's true. And she's got more than enough money to be able to do it. So yeah. If anyone's doing it, I don't know. It would be interesting to see regardless. But I even heard that Kim's kids have distanced themselves at this point. I saw Kim actually in person right the day of the Sharknado premiere, and she was with Brandy, and she had
good.
And they were getting ready, I guess. They I don't know if Brandy went to the premiere. I don't think she did, but maybe she was there to kind of like hang out with Kim. Maybe she paid for Kim to, because Kim did look good at the premiere. I don't know if Brandy went to the premiere. I think maybe they just got ready together. Like, she just kind of helped Kim get
prepped. Well, they're Hollywood ladies going out for Hollywood.
The premiere, yeah.
Time. Well, you know, what's really sad about that to me is Kim kind of was on the verge of a career revival. She did a few episodes of Revenge last year, and then she had this cameo in Sharknado, which there are tons of celeb cameos. Hers was one of the biggest. She had kind of a juicy little cameo in there. Mm-hmm. And this could have really been a big moment for her. She could have had a big red carpet photo op. She could have gone and done all the interviews and talked about how great she's doing and sober, and she was just at her daughter's wedding, and that's great. But she screwed all that up.
Right.
And I can just only think that that premiere day probably was hard for her, because it could have been a big day for her. And it was probably kind of filled with a little bit of shame, because she couldn't go out and present herself the way she would have wanted to because of her recent troubles.
Right.
So that's really sad.
Someone who's going out there and presenting herself, whether you're interested or not, is this nanny from Ben Affleck's life. She's on jets. She's driving a new $40,000 Lexus. This woman is
a drop top Lexi, as she calls
it. She's being credited now with breaking up the marriage with Jen and Ben. I don't know if she really necessarily was the real root of this divorce.
No, let me tell you what happened there.
Please
I believe
do.
This is what goes on in Hollywood relationships a lot. The relationship is already imploding. The couple have decided to call it quits. This is just my gesture, people, that they probably already decided to call it quits. And we're living, by all reports, Jen and Ben were living separately for quite a while before they announced that they were divorced. So maybe he struck up a thing with the nanny, or they're getting a little flirty on the side. Well, he's technically a single guy now, but we didn't know that. And now we've just learned about this divorce, so it seems like the nanny is the catalyst for it. I'm sure she wasn't. I don't think that Ben Affleck is that silly. And I think that if he was that silly, he would not pick a silly nanny. So anyway, but my main problem here with this story is these women who sell their stories. You know, she's talking to the media, whether she admits it or not. That's where this money is coming from. That's where her drop top Lexi is coming from, is selling this information to the media. And what do these women ever think they're eventually going to get out of this? You know, so she's got some money now. She's got her name on the blogs. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not on the cover of the LA Times for winning the Nobel Prize. You know what I mean? And she is out at restaurants, boozing it up, trying to get attention and trying to be seen by the paparazzi.
Yeah.
And it's just also gross to me, because That's her only claim to fame now. So that's what she is embracing being known for, is his home wrecking. Whether she did that or not, that's what she's being famous for right now. And she's embracing that? Like, come on.
See, to me, I think this is a girl that has always thought very highly of herself. We've seen a lot of Instagram pictures and reports that she's out with, like, the same group of two girls, and they go to all these high-end restaurants. She's out in Santa Monica. She's walking around with all these bags. And so I'm like, all right, this to me is a girl that always kind of rode the high life, even if she couldn't afford it. So to me, to show all this off now is speaks to her character in general. I think that she's always been this kind of girl, and she's always tried to show that she's living beyond her means. And, you know, she was part of a very high-end Beverly Hills nanny service. Mm-hmm. So she could have made plenty of money to be able to maintain that lifestyle. But the Lexus really shows off that this is like a bonus to her, to me. And this is how I view it. Like you mentioned, by selling information to the press, this mm-hmm. was her little treat for herself, and she has to show it off.
And she knew people were going to say that Ben bought it for her, which would just add more fuel to this story, more fuel to the fire.
Yeah. Mm. I know. It's interesting. Of course, Jen hasn't said anything. Ben said it was garbage. I don't know. This girl's definitely making the most of it, though.
She's holed up in a fancy hotel.
$1,000 a night minimum to be able to stay at this place. So, yeah, I don't know. This girl, to me, it's like she's going to get real, because her opinion, the public opinion of her is pretty low. And she's putting herself out there almost on the daily, showing things off. You can tell she's loving every minute of it. When do they dump someone like this?
Oh, it won't be long.
Yeah.
I mean, I think even in 1 or 2 weeks, she's just going to be referred to as the nanny. And pretty soon, you're not going to hear another word about it.
Yeah, I mean, even Vista Viano, who is a lot more controversial than she was, in my opinion, I mean, she's nowhere.
Nowhere.
No one has a clue where the hell she is. No one really even bothers to care.
No, and she's massively in debt and is facing lawsuits from the home wrecking. And we don't see that part of this. Mm-hmm. Even with Tiger Woods and the, 20 mistresses or whatever who came out. I knew some of those girls in town in L.A. And they just went back to, like, working bars and trying to be on reality shows and, you know, being pathetic wannabe Z-listers. Right back to it. This does not get you the career that you want to have.
No.
Hello,
no.
Duh, come on.
I know, yeah, very unimpressive.
Lady, come on.
Very unimpressive, and soon that'll be it for her, I hope, because I really don't care. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And the picture that she posted with the two Tom Brady's rings was just so tacky. She loves living that jet set high life, and it's all going to come in for landing very soon. It is. Nice. It's going to be over for her, because, I mean, come on. Would you read a tell-all book?
Oh, God, no. I don't think she has anything to tell.
I don't think so either.
She does. No.
I'm trying to think what she could do from here. I don't even want to give her any ideas. Who the hell cares?
Maybe a reality show. Isn't there, like, some nanny reality show or something?
You know, it's very telling.
She's going to be a host, Grant. Oh, she's going to get a great entertainment hosting job before either one of us.
You know what's going to be? And you know what? It's interesting. As we're talking about this girl, we've never said her name.
Nope.
And that gives some really interesting insight into just how significant she really is.
We didn't need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about another lady where we've been talking about a lot of women and entertainment today. But this girl has really tried to change her life for the better. Modern Family star Ariel Winters got a breast reduction. And it's made a lot of news.
Story.
It's made a lot of news. And I was really surprised. I thought it was at most going to be just like a headline, you know, but it's spoken to women's images, especially young girls, and how you come across in Hollywood and in photos. What do you think of this breast reduction?
Well, you know, I think the reason why this has kind of created such a splash is because for a 17-year-old girl, Ariel Winter is incredibly intelligent. She's mature. I've interviewed her a couple times. It's been a few years, but back when she was younger, I chatted with her a few times. And she is just a stand-up young lady. And we know that she went through a lot in the last few years. She tried to become emancipated from her parents. She claimed some abuse by her mother and has been living with her sister for a few years, and by all reports has been doing great, very, very well. And she also, in the last few years, her body has really developed, and I saw that on the red carpet with her. I saw her, I think, struggling to wear the right things, and I've even seen pictures of her and thought, like, oh, it must have been hard, you know, to get that neckline right. She's so young and she has so much, and it's difficult for a lady to dress that much on top and not look voluptuous. When you're 16, 17 years old, you're not trying to look voluptuous. And that is another reason why I give her mad props, is because she is the same age as Kylie Jenner was just a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And look at the kind of photos and the image that Kylie Jenner was putting out there versus what Arielle Winter was putting out there. If you look at Arielle Winter's social media, you see a lot of photos of her with her nieces and nephews, having fun with her young friends or her boyfriend, eating ice cream, that kind of stuff. Not booty in a thong trying to get attention.
Right, that's 17.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I really commend her for being a good role model and for speaking out about this. And I think there are a lot of young ladies who can relate to this. I had a best friend in high school who had a reduction at this age, and I remember thinking, like, wow, that's kind of crazy, but it really changed her life and changed the way that people saw her and the way that people our age talked about her. I mean, it really is a difficult thing to be that developed when you're that young.
Well, you know what's interesting to me is I'm so not used to hearing about anyone out here in Hollywood getting a reduction. It's always the opposite. It's a plumping. It's a bigger size. It's everything. Everything's bigger and fuller out here. So to hear that was like, I had to kind of do a double take. So I was like, you know what? I remember her on an episode of Modern Family, and I remember being like, wow, she's heavy on top, huh? Like she was big. And to go at that age, I didn't realize that she was that young, to be completely honest with you. Because, you know, in TV they always cast older and play younger. Mm-hmm. And of course that's a lot of labor laws and all types of things. So I just kind of assumed she was like definitely of age. Mm-hmm. But no, I guess they've really cast her to her actual age on that show. She's gonna look, share her photos, she looks good, and I'm glad. It's a healthy thing. And
she looks great.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's so weird to me that, I mean, what doesn't that speak to how it is out here when, like, I have to do a double take that someone's getting a reduction?
Well, because even the housewives, when they do get a reduction, then they go back and have bigger ones put in.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely not need to expect that from this girl.
Like, I think on Orange County Housewives, didn't Tamra get, like, one size down?
Mm-hmm. And made a huge deal out of it. And she had to go back and get her big ones again.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle it. Yeah, well, big up to Arielle for being a positive role model and for speaking honestly about these issues that so many young girls can relate to.
Absolutely. I think a lot of all of these other women that we discussed could learn about being a little bit more conservative and a little bit more doing things for themselves.
Agreed.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
So now enough about all these hot topics. Let's talk about you.
Oh, okay.
Christy.
That sounds good.
Christy, I want to talk about your experiences out here. What brought you to LA? I know you've been on plenty of carpets. You're always on a carpet interviewing someone, from reality stars to TV. I know you're all over meeting with a lot of people. You know, getting to that point can't be easy. So what's the process been like?
No, oh my gosh, not easy is about the first two words I would use to describe my journey here. But yes, a lot of chasing stars down the red carpet, but it all started for me. I've been here about 7.5 years now, and it was a dream come true to even come here. This is where I always wanted to be. I grew up in Minnesota in a very small town, kind of rural, and always just dreamed of palm trees and Hollywood, and every show I watched when I was little, everybody lived in LA, and I just knew this is where I needed to be. So my senior year in college, I applied for an internship at E, which was also where I always wanted to work because E is the epitome of entertainment, and this was, 8 years ago. So I was hired for an internship at E True Hollywood Story, which is what brought me out here to LA. Even that was super exciting.
Oh,
I learned I got the internship just a few weeks before I had to come here, and after only 7 weeks of working that internship, they hired me on to work there. So I was the executive producer's assistant at E! True Hollywood Story. Was my first big claim to fame in Hollywood.
There's nothing like that first taste of Hollywood, that first job, when you're there and you're seeing that everyone really is talking about these things that air on television, that are part of pop culture, that are really like, you're really the real deal. There's nothing like that first taste, that first job, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were celebrities coming in and out of the building every single day, and, you know, I was sat right above where they shot E! News, and I would see Juliana walking in the hall, and it was just like my dream come true. It was the world that I wanted to be in. And I learned a lot there, but my intention was always to be on camera. And as shocked as I was that the day I stepped foot at E!, they didn't go, oh my goodness, Christy Olsen, we're making you the new lead anchor of E! News. As shocked as I was when that didn't happen, I realized that continuing to work behind the scenes in entertainment was not the way to get on camera. So I started doing the waiting tables thing, and I started my own blog and YouTube channel, which has culminated into Christy Reports from Hollywood. And that is where I do all my red carpet interviews with celebrities. We have a lot of other fun segments. I do fashion and beauty and music. I have a show called Champsing and Shopping where we take celebrities shopping and we drink champagne. And so just a whole lot of fun, entertainment-y stuff. Anything that people out there love to be entertained by is something that I cover. I'm big in reality TV. That's one of my niches. So I'm just always focused on breaking news and getting the little people in middle America, like from where I used to be, who wanted that Hollywood experience. I'm always trying to give it to them through my videos on YouTube and my reports on my blog. So that's been my focus now. And of course, still, you know, looking for that lead anchor job on a daily national entertainment newscast.
So for you, it's always been LA. Your brand is from Hollywood. So you would, you know, would you ever consider going back east and pursuing anything over there? I mean, in my opinion, the main business is here for what you want to do. But what do you think?
Yeah, the business is here and the good weather is here. I've had enough of that snow and cold. So, you know, I've never even stepped foot in New York City. I haven't had an opportunity to do a lot of traveling, and I just always say Los Angeles is the greatest city in the world, even though I've never been anywhere else. And I absolutely don't intend on living anywhere else. Even my husband spends a lot of time back home in Minnesota, and I stay here. So if I had to guess, I would say, you know, the only way I'm leaving here is in a box.
Yeah, no, you definitely strike me as a definite LA girl for sure.
Yeah.
So while you've been out here, have your goals changed or have they really kind of stayed the same? The city has a sense of kind of pushing people in directions they didn't really plan or intend on, you know. So where has this taken you?
Well, that's so true. And I would say the main goal has always stayed the same, but I've learned what other goals I need to set to reach that. You know, I could have never imagined not just how difficult the journey would be, but how much there is to it and how much there is to learn. And I think the overwhelming thing that always kind of sticks out to me is in a lot of other industries, if you work hard and you go get your education and you're the best for the job and you really want to be the best and get to the top, you can do that by working hard. In our industry, everyone is working hard. And the person who makes it to the top, that may be a combination of a lot of other things, luck or opportunities or the people you meet. So my goals have definitely changed, but it's still to get to that main big job. You know, I have had to, like I said, I was shocked when they didn't just put me on TV. I've learned that I have to be more than a host. I have to also be a producer and a writer and an assignment editor and do all those other jobs. And I've learned how to do that and do that well also. So that has been important. And yeah, the goals do always change. They have to. Yeah. But the main one's always the same.
A lot of people wonder, you know, how do you get on these red carpets? How are you there to be able to be holding a microphone with a flag and to be able to call someone over? What's that process like?
It's such an elusive thing, isn't it? I feel like everybody I know wants to be on red carpets as either the star or the reporter or the cameraman or whatever it is. And you know what? It's not that hard. And I hate to give away my secrets, but I like to encourage other folks to do the same. I started with another small red carpet outlet. So when they stopped doing it, the producer said to me, you know, you can do this yourself. You find out what's going on in different events, and I do that through my relationships with publicists, through different calendars and things that I find online. I'm a research girl. So I do my research, I find out what's going on and who the person is to contact, and I just do that. And once you've created a following or you have some numbers, that certainly helps. But the most important thing is to show an enthusiasm for whatever the red carpet is, whoever the stars are. Everyone's there to get publicity for the event and for the stars. So if you say, I want to go and interview these people, and I'm going to put it up on the internet, or I'm going to put it on national TV, or I'm just going to put it in my little hometown newspaper because I have a call-in interview because I live in middle America and that's all I can do. You can definitely make that happen, and it's really not that hard. So finding the people who they can help you and you can help them is a great way to do it and create that synergy. And you know, you just kind of really want to make it happen, and you can. Right. And sometimes in Hollywood, it's just about acting like you belong there and showing up at the right place.
I haven't done that, but I've
oftentimes thought at those big events, no one would know the difference. Get a camera, get a microphone with a flag on it, and act like you're supposed to be
right,
there.
Right. Sometimes that's, you do what you gotta do to get something done around here. I totally know. You gotta just cut the bull crap around here half the time, because no one really knows. Nobody really gets it. You know, there's those lists. I worked on an award show, and those lists were changing by the minute, and it was like, oh, well, they're not on here. Well, what am I supposed to do? Oh, well, you know, I mean, they claim they have such high security at these things, but the way the system works, it's just kind of like there's so much stuff that's moving at those events. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know? Now, while you've been on the carpets, what are some interesting experiences that you've had with people that were kind of a little, you know, off? Like, have you ever come across someone that was strange or someone that you really didn't know and they're standing in front of you and you have to interview them?
That happens a lot because I do work a lot of small red carpets. You know, there are the big film premieres, but there's a lot of little events too, and that's where I started. So I have interviewed a lot of people that I didn't know who they were, and a lot of people who no one would know who they are. They haven't done much yet. They're out there trying to get publicity, and that's okay, because I was out there just trying to get started too.
Right.
You know, so you learn something from those folks too.
Have there been any real, like, awkward encounters?
Oh, the bad ones.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've gotten good at trying to turn those situations around, but sometimes you just never know. David Arquette is a wonderful guy. He stopped and chatted with me a few times, but he sometimes seems a little adrift, and I've had him just simply walk off in the middle of our interview. Those things happen. Courtney Stodden, who is the biggest attention WHORE in the world and wants everyone to pay attention to her, doesn't want to talk to me about her sex tape. You know what I mean? And I'm the kind of person who, if she's an A-list star, I'm not pushing her on her sex tape. She's Courtney Stodden. That's what we know her for. That's the only claim to fame, kind of like the nanny. That's the only claim to fame she has. That's where I'm going with her. And if she doesn't want to talk to me about that, I don't want to talk to her. So most certainly I have had some negative ones, but you just turn it around.
Right.
Anyone that's there is there for a reason, and you just tune into whatever that is, whatever they want to talk about, and you usually can. But yeah, I'd say the ones that are under the influence of drugs or alcohol are sometimes a little difficult.
I imagine they would be.
Yeah, and those people that it's the D-list reality stars, the people who are a legend in their own little mind, who want to act like, oh, I don't talk about that personal stuff, when that's their MO.
Your reality star. Come on.
Right. So those ones are a little difficult sometimes, those self-important people who aren't important. But for the most part, I have fun with it. And even those ones that don't go perfectly, you just have to look at the ones that did go perfectly. Like, for instance, my girl Juliana, who I know I keep talking about, but I ran into her on the red carpet once, and I was wearing a pair of shoes that had been hers, and she recognized it, and she was running late, but she stopped and talked to me, and I just had the most amazing, like, 2 minutes experience with her, and we got it all on camera.
Oh my God, perfect.
So you just have to be grateful for those moments, because there's a lot of technical difficulties that happen to you. You get footage home and you can't hear it or whatever it is. So I try to focus on the good ones.
Yes. I know how much that experience with Juliana must have meant to you. Mm. Now, do you identify her as kind of your mentor, or you're the person you kind of follow the most?
For sure. I have been watching her on E! News for almost 15 years, and she was just the one that I knew. She was the entertainment reporter that I knew, and she also had a hand in the production of the show. She was the managing editor of the show, and she talked a lot about that. You know, when she first started E! News, it was 2 weeks from getting canceled, and it was all about Julia Roberts and George Clooney, and no one wanted to hear about that. And Juliana was really one of the front runners in changing entertainment news to talk about Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton and Kim. That was even before Kim Kim Kardashian was huge. So she sort of shaped the whole industry, in my opinion, and was big behind the scenes. And so that's something that has become more one of my goals, is to also be a producer and to create TV shows. You know, she was one of the EPs on her reality show, and had a hand in creating the NBC The Dating Show that her and Bill hosted for Eva Longoria. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so, yeah, she definitely was a big point person for me, because I was a blogger and I knew websites and I wanted to be a writer too. And so just knowing that you have to have that full skill set behind the scenes too, I do credit her for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my girl.
I've watched a lot of your interviews, actually, truthfully, on YouTube.
Oh, thank
quite
you.
A bit. I know you're on iTunes as well. You've posted some interviews there as well,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, I know you've met with a lot of different people all over the place at these events. You know, what were some of the highlights? You know, what were some of the highlights with getting information and getting scoop?
Well, that's where I think I differ from kind of everyone else out there. You know, there's a lot of YouTubers, and there's a lot of people out on red carpets that write for different blogs and different websites. And I really pride myself on knowing what's all going on in this entertainment industry all the time, keeping up really hardcore on all my favorite shows, and then seeking out those people on the red carpet, so that when I'm standing on a red carpet and everyone else is asking Heather McDonald, oh, so people are talking about Caitlyn Jenner, what do you think? And I can't believe that I'm the only one on the red carpet out of these reporters that knows that she just spoke out about it 2 days ago and got ripped in the press and on social media, and she's been at the top of every headline for the last 2 days, and you don't know that? So I quietly wait until everyone else finishes their interviews, because they hear me talking and then they get in on my exclusives. But so by knowing everything that's going on, then I can go and ask Heather McDonald about that, and she gives me a whole nother exclusive update on the fallout from her original comments.
Mm-hmm.
So by knowing what's going on more than everyone else, I get the juicy stuff. That's what makes my videos different, and I think that's what's made my channel popular, and what my audience is, they're starting to give me that credibility, is that they know they're going to get something exclusive because I'm going to ask that question and I'm going to go there. So let's see, a year or so ago, I'm a big Total Divas fan, I'm big in WWE, and one of the girls had secretly gotten married. And no one knew about it. And she told me about it on the red carpet, because I've developed a rapport with her. And I kind of sensed that something was going on, and I prodded her a little bit, and she gave me that sort of juicy scoop. Pretty Little Liars is another one I've been following since the very first episode, and I run into those kids a lot on the red carpet. So I've gotten some of the best kind of tidbits and things that they have to be very careful, because it's a storyline driven show, but I've really gotten some things that the fans didn't know out of them. And even just knowing about the stars, a lot of people didn't know that one of the main actresses is also a singer. Mm-hmm. You know, they can buy her music on iTunes and they don't even know that. And I had her sing live a cappella with me on the red carpet. That was the first time she had ever done that. And she was shocked even herself that I knew her song and wanted her to do that. And it became one of my biggest videos. Oh, speaking of, just one more, because this is a good story.
No, this is great.
An absolute no-name interview is my biggest YouTube video. It has over 200,000 hits, and that is because there was a lot of controversy going on, again, with one of my favorite reality shows, Dance Moms. And I interviewed this actress who was in this web series, and that's the only reason why she was walking the carpet. And she said to me, well, I used to be a dancer. I don't know if you know Abby Lee Miller, but I was like, oh my goodness gracious, we watched Dance Moms and you studied with her, and that's crazy. And this was right at a time when that dance teacher was dealing with a lot of abuse allegations.
Right, oh yeah.
So I really got the kind of nitty gritty, raw info from this girl. Her point ended up being that she wouldn't be anywhere without this woman. You know, having helped her, and that she had become very successful through that kind of training. But everyone wanted to hear what this girl had to say. You know, having been kind of a success story and having grown up, she was like 30. So, you know, we're all looking at the 12-year-old girls now that this Abby Lee Miller is teaching and wondering how they're going to feel about it in 15 years.
Right.
I gave the audience that. So just knowing what you're talking about, man, that is the absolute most important thing. And again, like I say, I do my research, and I pride myself on that.
We met through AfterBuzz. I believe we met at all. Was it the end of 2014 or the beginning of 2015?
Yeah, about the end of 2014. Right. I started doing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
With you folks.
I'm looking forward to that show coming back. But so you've been with AfterBuzz for a little bit under a year now. You know, what was the process like to get in with AfterBuzz? AfterBuzz is an online network, for those of you who are not familiar, who cover a lot of different after shows for within film and sports. And it's a very pop culture driven network. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are involved. It's very upcoming, super popular in the digital space. And with that comes a lot of competition to be able to get into such a place. I happened to get into AfterBuzz very early in the game, so I've just kind of seen a lot of it grow. I don't know what my future would be like now had I applied to go in. How did you get into AfterBuzz, and how did you even discover it?
Well, I had a friend who did it, actually. I've gotten to know a lot of people from hosting classes and different things that I've done, named J.C. Rubio, who I'm sure a lot of our fans know. He does The Bachelor, red carpets, and a lot of fun stuff.
He's a great host.
Yeah, he's the best. So I knew that he'd been doing it for a while, and I kind of thought, that looks like fun. Mm-hmm. So if you check out the website, they tell you there's sort of a process. You can send in like a resume and a reel, and you do have to kind of take a test that is about some of that behind the scenes production stuff. Again, it's very important to know, to not just be a talking head, but to know how to be a journalist and how to be a TV producer. So there was an aspect of that as well, and they wanted to see you on camera in a video talking about one of your favorite shows for a couple minutes. I did Total Divas, of course. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of a process, but that's a cool, fun place where if you are a super fan of a TV show and you know what you're talking about as far as that show goes, you can come and do it there.
Right, absolutely. Now, what do you cover at AfterBuzz right now?
All the good, trashy reality TV. I am on Real Housewives of Orange County, Total Divas, Tough Enough, Dance Moms, and I also do the WWE pay-per-views, which is, the ultimate reality TV with a punch.
That's good. So you've really found your niche there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where would you like to see yourself going with, if you had to pick one track? Would it be with the WWE programming, or would you stay with the reality?
That's such a good question. I would love to work for WWE as a host and interviewer. I resonate with that because the people there work really hard and they do a lot of charity work as well. So that's just a really cool realm to me and somewhere I'd like to work. But I just live and breathe this Hollywood stuff. And reality TV has become such a big part of what I cover that... And I just love it. That's the thing about all this stuff is that I'm so into it and I couldn't imagine talking about anything else really. So I just sort of feel like, I'll just keep sticking with everything I love until I need to make a choice. But anything in the realm of entertainment, anything that's putting a smile on people's face, I want to get to the juicy dirt about.
Now tell me, what keeps you going with all the competition and the constant having to book the next carpet and edit the next video and get it out because it's news and it's going to expire soon? What keeps the system going?
Sometimes nothing. Sometimes I just have to almost give up for a few days. No. What does? I've just always acknowledged that the people who don't give up are the ones who make it. I mean, it might take you 1 year or it might take you 20, but if you quit at 10 and it was supposed to take you 20, you're definitely not getting there. And I've seen a lot of people and have heard about a lot of people giving up, and you're not going to make it then. So I just have always thought, if you do keep at it, it will happen. And as much as I maybe question that every once in a while, it's about the inner dialogue that you have with yourself. And I try very hard to just keep myself positive. It's all about what's going on in your head and what you're doing in your day and the kind of people you're surrounding yourself with. AfterBuzz is a great thing for this because I get to go and connect with other hosts and not just even connect with them, but kind of lament a little bit too, like, oh man. Yeah, so we all had 5 auditions this week and none of us got anything, but it's okay because we're in the same boat together and we know that if we stick it out, we'll be good. So it as cheeseball as it sounds, it is just staying positive as hard as that. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's something you have to work on.
It is hard to keep the morale up out here.
Yeah.
It's like it's a total roller coaster to to deal with the city, and there's a lot of outside nonsense that happens that can easily kind of ruin your day when you're trying to keep it all together.
Yes.
You know, living in a big city, no matter where that would be, has its own pressures and its own challenges. Challenge is such like an overused word, but there are so many hurdles in living here. Mm-hmm. It can be exhausting.
Yeah.
By the time you get through the day and you pay your bills and you deal with the traffic and you deal with the nonsense people and, you know, the Hollywood schmoozing and all that, which can be so exhausting. It's like, then you need to find energy to pursue your goal. And it's like, okay, wait, I'm ready for
I'm
bed.
I'm just trying to stay alive.
Yeah, like I'm ready for bed. Like I need to get to work. But it definitely you have to keep the system going. You have to keep the morale up and being able to be around people. And that's what I love about this project, with this Grants Rants podcast, is that I'm really pulling folks that really have a hustle and have a passion, but also really are doing it and know the work and the focus you have to have. That way we can have these great conversations because we can totally relate. There are a lot of people out here who are really trying to get something accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said, like, I am like addicted to getting things done personally. Like, I love it. I love getting things accomplished and off my list and just getting to that next rung and getting that life upgrade, you know, and that's what drives me so much. And to be able to talk to people who are also on that same path, that's like, wait a minute. I've sometimes been living in a big city, you feel like you're one of many, many people. But to see that there are other people out there, like little flags waving that are doing the same thing and have the same mentality, it's reassuring. And it's like, okay, I'm not crazy. And we're, you know, it's still possible.
Or we're
right?
just all crazy.
I know.
And that's okay.
It's still possible, right? Well, where can we find you online? What can we find you doing? And where can we find these great red carpet interviews?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. Well, if the folks want to tune in to AfterBuzz TV, you can catch both Grant and I on Monday nights. We do Real Housewives of Orange County Live. Tuesday nights, if you're a WWE fan, we break down Total Divas and Tough Enough. That is so much fun. We have a great panel. We give you a lot of info, insider info that you didn't know. And then Wednesday night, live at 8 p.m. Pacific, is Dance Moms. Next week, we're actually going to have Jeff Collins, one of the creators of the show, on. And we do that a lot.
Have
special guests. Yeah, so please check all that out at AfterBuzzTV.com. And then you can catch my juicy exclusives, all that reality TV coverage, fashion, beauty, all that fun stuff on ChristyReports.com. You'll find stories along with the videos. And if you check out my YouTube channel at ChristyReports, you can see all my interviews. Like I said, I have PLL, I've got the reality stars, I have movie stars, I've got spa days, and I have shopping and some stuff for the guys too. A lot of sports interviews and athletes and a lot of those WWE interviews. So whatever you're into, there's something there for
Super
you.
Super well-rounded portfolio of work, it sounds like. Yeah.
I like to think so. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they would subscribe to my YouTube channel at Christy Reports, I would really appreciate that. I'm getting so close to a million total hits, and I just... I appreciate every fan who clicks once and watches for 1 second. I really, really do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for ranting with me.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you think so. Yes, there's constant hot topics to discuss, so we'll see what comes up next and what's left to rant about coming up.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions 2015.